Welcome to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad you are with us. We are coming to you live from the world headquarters here at Flesh Law in Inglewood, Colorado. Mr. Flesh, how are you?
I'm good, Scott. Never thought about this as the world headquarters, but I guess it is.
Man, and the longevity.
Oh, my gosh.
Son.
Yeah. Since 1997.
One day, we're going to do a show. Before the end of the year, we're going to do a show on just humorous cases, things that you have seen in your career over 30 years. Let's remember that.
Yes.
I would love to. I mean, we've talked about a few through our number of years, but man, you've had to seen it all.
Oh my gosh, we've seen a ton. In fact, you know, it's so interesting. What's interesting for people that come in and we have all these free consultations and you talk to folks is you do, over the period of time that I've had different, over the period of time that I've practiced, I've just run into the same case with different faces over and over again. And I'll tell you that it is interesting because I think some of the hardest cases to represent folks on are neighbor dispute cases, where you and your neighbor have not gotten along forever. And things just happen. Criminal cases happen. Restraining orders happen. Civil claims against each other happen. All of these things. And people come in, and I can see it. As soon as they bring in the big binders and they start talking about 20 years of transgressions between the other party and them, and I know where it's going. You know, they want to continue to be vengeful against the other party, against the other people that they live next to, and they want to do all these things. And it's so hard because my reaction to them anymore is, well, if you really want to resolve this, one of you has to move, or you have to have renter. You just have to move. You have to either sell your place or you get renters in. And they're so invested in the problem that they've created between them and the other party that that's never an answer for them, right? And it's always some other way to try to they think that they're going to be able to get it taken care of. And so you're right. And there's all kinds of, I mean, the criminal defense stuff, same thing. You get to see patterns, and there's just a regular, you understand human nature over time. And it's really interesting in the sense of we as humans, how we react to things, because most of the time there's a pattern to what we think and what we do and how it sort of ends and how they end up in my office. And so that's fun because we can add value and we can sort of see the future for them and sort of get a sense and it's helpful for people because we're a clearinghouse for some of those things sometimes because people don't realize they think that their situation is unique. And there may be some uniqueness to the fact pattern, but most of the time we've seen it over 30 years. And so there are crazy things that happen in the practice and sort of what things happen and how people want to resolve cases, both on the civil and the criminal side. And so we should do that sort of show because we could set it up into segments of different claims.
Absolutely. Well, if this is your first time to join us, we are here every week at this time with Kevin. And once again, we have our Flesh Law text line, 720-201-8585. And before I forget, like I did last week, I said I was going to mention it last week. We did get a text in. And the question was this, Kevin. They said, how much can previous injuries hurt you in a personal injury claim? You know, you've been through maybe not another car accident, but you've had a neck injury, you know, before work or whatever. Now you're in a car accident.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Because
anybody over 50 probably they've had some, you know,
exactly.
some things going on.
Exactly. That is absolutely correct. And so when you have a pre-existing condition, because that's what we're talking about, what it really comes down to is how you progress with treating that pre-existing condition and how you handle it in the sense of your medical care. So many people get afraid of, oh, I've had this problem for years. And it's going to mean that the insurance company will be able to lowball me on the settlement range. But it doesn't always mean that. I mean, it really comes down to many times what's really helpful is that injury has caused you to document that area of your body, and it'll give us MRIs. It'll give us other scans. It'll provide us other medical records that are evidence of the fact that you had the injury and you became asymptomatic and you were actually healed. In the sense of you were good, that you were back to close to 100%. And then hopefully you go through a period of time, maybe years, maybe decades, that mm-hmm. you don't have any more problems. And then this injury comes up because of a negligent act of another party. And again, that's going to give us the opportunity to say, look, this person was perfectly fine. They had the injury, but they also healed from it.
Right.
And they took care of it. What actually is harder is those situations where it seems like a minimal sort of accident, like either a small slip and fall or a car accident with very little damage, mm-hmm. and you have this horrific injury, and you don't know how it happened in the sense of how was it created, because you have no medical history or records. Those are actually the harder to prove than where you have a pre-existing.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah, because then I don't have anything to say this person's back from an MRI was, because you're right. As a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old person, there's specific independent medical examiners or folks that are out there that generally testify for the defense that will tell you that everybody in their 50s has degenerative disc disease and that we all have pain, right. and that doesn't lead to any injuries from a car accident. I mean, they're crazy mm-hmm. the way that they talk about it, and they try to get jurors to believe it. But it really is common sense. As long as you can provide evidence that there was an injury and that you've gotten better, or for the most part, completely healed, then you can work with that. The other thing that I think people have a tendency to do is they say, well, I treated with this doc for this injury 5 years ago, and they got me better. But I don't want to go back to them because they'll know my history. And I tell people just the opposite.
Yeah.
I say, they're the ones that know your history.
Know you.
They know you. They're going to be really good advocates for you, most likely, if they want to testify. And that's something that we try to figure out early on in the process. But if they want to be involved and they want to be your advocate, those are the folks that can say, listen, these are the things we did to get them better. And they were better. And then they came back to us 2 years ago or a year and a half ago because of this incident.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we found that was different. Not because of degeneration or because of some natural aging, but because of a catastrophic thing or because of a injury that was caused by this sort of event. Those are the folks that are really helpful for us. So
gotcha.
I generally don't shy away from those pre-existing conditions, and there's some good jury instructions relating to that.
Sure.
Especially with what they call an eggshell plaintiff, where you're damaged. Maybe you grew up and you had a problem with whatever, the way that you grew up. Maybe you have scoliosis or something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this injury, and you're more susceptible to have significant injuries because of the way that just your body, the way it was engineered, I guess.
Sure, sure. Birth. No, it makes sense.
That those sorts of situations can help us. And there's a specific jury instruction relating to you take your plaintiff as they are. And so if they have these things where they are very fragile, because that's really what the eggshell plaintiff instruction talks about, is the fact that a fragile person is just as injured, but it may take less force, for example.
Right.
And those sorts of arguments to claims adjusters and defense lawyers generally work because jurors get it. They understand it, and they'll be told as a matter of law that they can't discount a claim just because the person has these problems originally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Once again, you're listening to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesh. The number 303-806-8886. All right, we've done through the years a lot of different angles on this, on what are things that can mess up your case. I'm not really putting any numbers to these or priorities, but Kevin, I ask you just list a few things, and boy, these are some good ones, you know, that you feel. And number one, you got waiting too long to contact an attorney.
Yeah.
That's huge. Isn't
it? Yeah, the calls that I get where the people need to file a lawsuit, they're calling me a week before the statute of limitations runs. Well, number one, it puts me in a difficult spot because I don't feel that it's ethically right for me to send them on their way and for them not to file the suit generally. I mean, if I have a good faith basis to bring it, I'm going to bring it. I have to, because right. I have to give them that opportunity, and then we figure out what all their damages are. But so that's the extreme example of waiting, thinking you're going to be able to work it out with the insurance company until you're not, and then you've got a week before the statute of limitations runs. And remember, the statute of limitations relating to a car accident is 3 years from the date of the accident.
So right.
The day before the three-year anniversary is the statute of limitations on an auto accident. Premises liability is 2 years from the date of the fall or the dangerous condition that causes you injuries on the premises. So again, that's a very short period of time, 2 years. And then if you have an assault, or there are a number of other claims, it may be a one-year statute of limitations. And so you have to consider, so your time period is compressed relating to all of those sorts of things. And so you have to consider, especially in the car accident case, you know, 3 years seems like an eternity. So people are like, the first few months, you know, I'll go get some medical treatment. I'll kind of do things reasonably, and you kind of traipse along. And then you talk to your buddy that had a car accident a few years ago, and they kind of said, oh, I don't think the lawyer really helped me out a whole lot. I can help you through it. I'll help you figure out how to make a demand and do all these other things. You know, those are exactly the situations that you don't want to get yourself into, because you just don't know all of the things that you have to go through. Making sure that you understand how your health insurance works, that there's a subrogation claim that's going to be made, that let's say you do make a policy limit demand to the at-fault party and they tender that policy limit. Well, have you gotten permission from your underinsured, uninsured motorist carrier before you approve that settlement and you take the money? Those are all things that you need to do well in advance of resolving the claims, and that's where it's important mm-hmm. to get us involved. But, you know, there are things where I had a case a few years ago where the person did have a lawyer and they just didn't have the right lawyer, where they were given advice that they thought they should settle a case, and it was a substantial case. They had a lot of medical expenses, and so they came to us for a second opinion. And as it turns out, the advice they were given was wrong. I mean, they were offered $80,000. We ended up getting them close to $700,000 when we got done with the cases. So it's those sorts of questions. So it's waiting too long to talk to a lawyer, period, because we all offer free consultations. We're going to give you some advice relating to what you should do. And then you just have to decide what advice you listen to. And that's the other thing, is you need to trust the person that you hire. And that's why it's so important to interview several different folks mm-hmm. and make sure that you feel comfortable with them before you make that buying decision. Mm-hmm. But don't wait. I mean, and we're doing it on a contingency. And so people call me all the time and say, well, what is it going to cost? And I explain, well, it's going to cost you a percentage of what we can recover for you. But out of your pocket today, nothing. Mm-hmm. We're going to take care of you and take all the risk. And that risk is substantial. I mean, because there are cases that we don't make any money on. Not very often, because we're pretty good at looking at the sure. case initially. But it does happen. But for folks that don't have, you know, the money sitting in the bank for a retainer, that's not what this is about. It's about making sure that we do the work and we get you a fair resolution of the case, and then we get a percentage of whatever we recover for right. you. So it can be costly, right. but not out of your pocket initially.
What do? You call and you get an appointment and you meet some legal assistant stuff, and then they want to sign you, and you say, trust the person that's going to represent you. I hadn't even met the person that's going to represent me. What do you do in that case?
Yeah, in that case where you're meeting with a case manager or somebody that's not actually going to – they have folks that are doing intakes now that don't really work with the lawyers or the paralegals or the legal team that may be working with it. You ask to meet with those people. You mm-hmm. say, I want to meet with the actual person that's going to be handling my case.
Yeah, and chance I could meet them?
Yeah, exactly. And absolutely. And you need to take that time. Many people, I mean, I see it in my practice where I'll talk with somebody over the phone. They're like, okay, I'm ready to sign up. And I think that's kind of amazing, because as much as I'm a nice guy and I'm decent over the phone, I think you want to see what our office is like. You want to see how, you know, are we really truly here? I mean, we have lots of firms right now that are coming in from out of state that are trying to set up practices here, that have private equity money behind them,
right,
that are spending a ton of money on marketing and advertising and billboards, and you don't know if they're here for the long term.
Yeah. I tell you what, keep your train of thought.
Yep.
The whole time I've done Haystack, somebody wants to be on.
Yeah.
I go to that business. Dude, I've walked up, and it's a mailbox place.
Right.
Rentals.
Yep.
I've been to some buildings and walked in there, and I've thought, you're a contractor, and look at this place.
Correct.
I want nothing to do. I mean, really, and I just got back my car and left.
No, absolutely.
So, like you say, that makes sense to come and look.
Absolutely. You need to come in and see whether we have an office. I mean, I'm old school related to receptionists and things like that. But, I mean, if they, like you said, if it's an office where it's a post office box and a UPS guy in a brown suit, that's your supposedly your main office in the state, you got to wonder. In today's world, obviously, a lot of folks are doing things remotely.
Sure.
Where you do the Zoom, you do the other things. The practice of law has gone to that to some degree. But it's still, I think, important for these important cases for people. We're talking about significant amounts of economic and non-economic damages. You want to make sure that you can sit down with someone and sit across the table, because that's what that's what the insurance companies are looking at too. I mean, in the event that you have a firm that, you know, not sure if they're going to be here next week and in Colorado, or they have an office in Chicago where all of their lawyers are working out of, and they have a couple of people that have a shadow office in Colorado, you just got to know that, because there are going to be times where you need something, where you need to show up to an office and sign, get something notarized, and are you going to just go out and do it for them? Or are you going to come to their office and take care of it? And that's why we're here, because we've been here a long time, because I don't like to move. So we've been in the same building we have people show up on a weekly basis that remember us doing work for them 10, 20 years ago. And they're like, well, I just knew where the building was, and I thought we were on this floor. And sure enough, we're still here.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, what's next that you feel, not getting an attorney soon enough? What would be another priority thing?
The other thing is really getting credible medical treatment right away. It's important for you to document what it is that is going on with you, either medically or psychologically. I've got a case right now where I've got a client that was shot at as he was driving by in a neighborhood. Luckily, he wasn't shot himself, but his truck was shot up, and he thought that he was going to be significantly injured, and so he's had some emotional trauma relating to that, and he has some real concerns about that, and so he got some treatment relatively soon thereafter, but that medical treatment is sort of tapered off, and it's primarily because he just doesn't have the funds or the time to go do it. But he still talks to me about the fact that he's always looking over his shoulder and that sort of thing. His claim is worth less today because he hasn't really done a good job of developing that medical explanation as to what he's feeling, and certainly he could have done a better job of that. And that's what I'm talking about in the same context with physical injuries. Lots of folks will get through 2/3 of their medical treatment relating to physical therapy and maybe other things that your doctor is recommending, and saying, I'm 80%, it's going to be okay. And they stop treating. And the problem is that they don't follow everything through the way they should. And it gives the insurance company the opportunity to say that, well, you didn't really follow doctor's orders, so you can't say that you've got a long-term injury because you didn't do what they told you to do.
Right.
And that means that when you're in front of a jury, that the jury shouldn't pay you as much because you didn't seem to care that much about it. And so it's those sorts of things. So getting treatment right away is really important, and then following through with those doctor's orders so that you make sure that you get everything taken care of. And in today's world, it used to be 20, 25 years ago, we didn't have sort of things that the providers in place that would do things on a lien. You'd have chiropractors that would do liens.
Sure.
They would hold their liens, and they would do the work for the promise to be paid later. Now we have all of the different specialties. Because there's lien companies out there that will actually manage that care and will help you if you don't have health insurance. I think your best bet to, no matter what, unless you're Kaiser, covered by Kaiser, the other health insurance plans are pretty good about treatment. I think just generally speaking, Kaiser doesn't give the greatest care. Yep. That's just been my experience with what I've seen.
That's all. I've heard the same thing.
Yeah. And so they'll give you care, but it's, you've got to be really active in getting the care that you need. And if you aren't, then it's really hard to get what you need to really show that you're injured, because you'll get sort of off and on care through them. Mm-hmm. So it's just important to be really good advocates relating to your medical care. And then we're there to help you. And it goes back to sort of waiting too long. If you aren't doing much in the way of care and you're just not sure what to do, that's, again, where you can call us. I'm not a medical doctor.
Right.
But I've seen enough of these cases, sort of what we talked about last week, that you start seeing repetition claims and what things need to be done. And I know, generally speaking, if you're going to a chiropractor for 2 years and you've plateaued and you still have the same sort of injuries, you probably need some other medical care. You probably need to go see someone to have an MRI done. You've got something else going on that a chiropractor can't fix, and that we need to help you with that. It's those sorts of things.
Now, if you are in that scenario, and man, I wanted to bring this up earlier, you have been dealing with an insurance company on your own. Let me just add this part. Kevin, I'll let you explain, but we call it, can we add value is the question.
Right.
That comes from the free consultation. They come in, tell you what they got.
Yep.
You take it from there.
Yeah. So let's say, for example, what we were talking about, the original conversation we had, where you are representing yourself. You're 6-8 months into a claim. You talked to your buddy who settled his claim last year with a lawyer and says, oh, I'll help you because I saw how they did it. You know, and you're going through it, and the insurance company, you sent them some sort of demand relating to what it is that you want, and the insurance company has made you an offer. And let's say they've made you a $10,000 offer, and you've gotten that on your own. I'm not interested in any part of that. That's something that you did on your own. I shouldn't get a percentage of that. It's everything above that, and that's where we have a conversation about what I think the claim is worth after you come in and you show me some of the evidence you have, what you've sent in the way of a demand to the insurance company, and where you're at, whether or not you've got future treatment. Because many times people that come into me that send off these demands, they have additional treatment that they need that they haven't provided because they wanted to get that check. They wanted to get paid right away, but they haven't really thought about the implication of it only being able to settle once and what that means. So we have that conversation, and I say, well, geez, I think your case is worth $30,000. You have plenty of limits relating to the insurance company for the at-fault party, you know, based upon your medical expenses and what you've told me. I think if we do a few things, we'll be able to get that $10,000 offer up to $30,000. Well, I'm going to take that $20,000. I'm going to get a percentage of that $20,000 because that's what we've added in the way of value in our representation, and that's all that I'm going to get. And then we'll have that conversation of whether or not you want to take that risk. And it may mean filing suit. It may mean getting some experts involved. There's some additional costs. But then we do an economic analysis relating to what is it worth for you. Is it worth for you to get the $10,000 and us not take care of it in any way? Or is it worth taking a chance and getting more money? And it's an individual conversation. Some people, you know, a $20,000 swing is a lot. Some people, a $20,000 swing isn't.
Yep.
That's not worth their time. Mm-hmm. So it's very much a conversation that we have to have with each individual client and what they want to do with their claim.
Right. Now, we talked about this on last week's show a little bit about talking too much. So you have to remember, if you get on the phone, the insurance company, they call you. First thing they say, this is a recorded line, and they ask you how you're doing. You go, great, how are you?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we all tend to say.
Yes, so we want to be as positive as possible.
Something that can hurt you, and again, we're not talking about being deceptive, lying. We're not talking about any of that. We're just talking about being smart on the phone, right?
Yes, exactly, especially when it's recorded and it'll be used against you later. Yeah, I mean, much like what we talked about with talking with the police, it's the same thing with the claims adjuster, with the at-fault party's insurance. You're making a claim against them saying that you were hurt based upon what their insured did to you. They're going to try to get any information they can to diminish the value of that claim. That's how insurance stay in business.
Yep.
They look at claims as just dollars, passing in and out. And if they can reduce the amount of what they have to pay out in claims based upon what they get in for premiums and what they can invest those monies in while they're waiting to pay out, that difference is profit. I mean, that's just what it is, or it's what their members are going to get, whatever it is. That's how they stay in business. And so if you think about it that way, and they have their own self-interest in making sure that the claim is paid as little as possible to go away, they want to buy your lawsuit for as cheaply as they can. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to take that into consideration when you start talking with them, that they're not there to help you. They're there to buy your lawsuit from you or buy your claim from you. And right. So they're going to do that. When it's an arm's length transaction like that, they're going to try to do that as cheaply as possible, because that's how everybody runs their businesses.
Sure.
Yeah, they want their cost of business to be as low as possible, so their profit margin right. is as high as possible.
Yep. Last couple of minutes here, but something you probably didn't have to worry about 15 years ago with social media, people posting things. Have you had that? You look at somebody and go, "What were you thinking?"
Oh yeah, absolutely, all the time. I mean, I talk with clients about it all the time. That listen, number one, there are cameras everywhere. So Ring cameras, doorbell cameras, halo cameras in cities. So just keep in mind that you're most likely recorded wherever you go.
Yep.
And if the defense can figure out a way to get to those recordings, they will. But secondarily, you don't have to have, when you've got an injury claim, your life doesn't have to be on social media. Mm-hmm. Because anything that's on social media will be fair game. And if you're dancing at that wedding like you're not injured, even if it's for 2 minutes, they're going to use that to say that you're not injured. Mm-hmm. And it's going to affect you. So just keep that in mind. And it's not necessarily, although there is, it's interesting, because I would say the older folks that are using Facebook to document their lives, and we know all those folks that are out there, probably our age or a little bit older, that use Facebook a lot. And then you've got the younger sect, like my kids' age, that are on TikTok and Instagram all and they just constantly put stuff out there. Those in the middle, not as much, because I think we're busier with other stuff. I don't know. You just have to think about what you're doing on social media, because it's going to be all available for the defense. They're going to want to know what media platforms you're using, what your names are on them, everything, because they'll go out and look for it, and then they may ask for certain documents and images and everything else. Mm-hmm. And you've just got to be careful about what's out there, because once it's out there, you can't get it back.
Yep. You've been listening to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesh. Once again, it is Flesh Law. Our text line, 720-201-8585. You ever got a question for Kevin, shoot us a text. The number for the free consult, 303-806-8886. Kevin, we appreciate your time. Look forward to our show next week, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us today for Legal Talk. We'll be back with more right after this.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
How much do you need to lower your monthly mortgage payment? $200, $300, $400 or more? As rates decline, take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Over 24 years of saving Coloradans money. Low rates, lower payments, less costs. What makes us different is we listen. As an independent mortgage broker, we shop the top lenders to save you the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Want to purchase your next home? You can't qualify unless you sell your current home? Let us show you how to get the down payment out of your current home, qualify for the new one, and then sell yours for the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. So you want to buy a home? Let us show you loans that can save you money, low down payment, first-time home buyer specials, fixed rates in the fours with buy-downs. Call for details, 720-895-0500, or apply now at aimortgage.net. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 217147, Equal Credit Lender.
Zip around the neighborhood, commute to work, or ride the trails on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Carancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are electric bikes that are fun and easy to ride. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. At eBike of Colorado, we have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Just try it. Take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Need new glasses fast? With Stack Optical's on-site lab, you'll get your prescription glasses in just 3 to 4 days. No long wait times. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I've trusted my eye care to Allen Stack and Stack Optical for the last 15 years. Eye exams are only $69, and that should be a part of your physical checkups each year. For over 50 years, Denver has trusted this family-owned boutique eye care center for premium vision care, custom eyewear, and expert repairs. See the Stack Optical difference today. Call 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. And tell them Scott sent you. Stack Optical. Since 1968, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
KLZ 560 AM, your home station.
Haystack Help Radio brings you Your Legacy, Your Way, the show that puts you in control of your future. Hosted by Scott Watley and featuring estate planning attorney Carolyn Duncan, this program is your go-to source for everything you need to know about protecting your assets, your family, and your legacy. Whether it's a will, a trust, or a full estate plan, if you don't decide, the state will decide for you. Attorney Carolyn Duncan brings the experience you need to help you gain peace of mind and avoid costly legal pitfalls. So ask yourself, what kind of legacy do I want to leave behind? Don't wait for a crisis before you plan. Now here's Your Legacy Your Way with your hosts, Scott Watley and Attorney Carolyn Duncan.
Welcome to Your Legacy Your Way. My name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. Our show is brought to you by Duncan Legal. That is DuncanLegal.com. Our exclusive estate planning attorney is Carolyn Duncan. And we are coming to you live from the world headquarters. You're in the Centennial area of Colorado. How are you?
I am doing just fine. Yeah. I'm ready for the weather to kind of even out a little bit here. I mean, we had that beautiful day where it was so, you know, in the 70s. Then you have a couple of hundreds. I think yesterday I got 6 raindrops on my windshield.
Sparse.
But the only great thing about August, and I get it's summer, so I'm not going to moan and groan about the weather, but hey, we're going into football season.
Man, no doubt. I cannot wait. It is the most boring time flipping around because, I mean, I watch anything with football, you know, and hopefully the Broncos stay healthy and we'll get back there. College football is awesome.
I was going to say, I follow college football more than I watch the Broncos, but I follow my college team before I do that.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, football.
Well, the year is flying by. And, hey, one thing we always talk about here is, you know, time does pass quickly. I've had 2 deals this last week. One guy was on a horseback riding trip with a man in New Mexico, and they went to shoot some sporting clays and somehow had a gun accident, and one man tragically gun went off and he lost his life. Had another one yesterday, just recorded with a show with a client this morning. Guy fell off a ladder, passed away. I mean, life can change, we say in a heartbeat, but I mean, life can change, and everybody always has plans for tomorrow and next week and the holidays coming up and everything, but you never know.
You know, it's funny because I have a good friend that we were just talking about this a week or so ago. As you know, I lost my husband, but it's been 6 years, but I've had a couple of episodes of going, ooh, that was raw emotion I didn't see coming. And she lost her son tragically, and she goes, oh, yeah. You know, we're just going along, and we're at dumb happy. Things seem to be really good. We're having a, you know, a nice life and all that, but we're just dumb. And then this event happens, and it's like going, your life is forever changed.
Right.
You're no longer just dumb happy. You are a different.
Yeah.
And when I told her, yeah, you know, once Bill died, I said it wasn't until the next day, and he died later in the evening. that I'm going, you know, he was on hospice and they're going to encourage him. It's okay to go, that you're going to be okay, blah, blah, blah. And I realized I never thought about what is it going to be like mm-hmm. when it actually happens. And she right. goes, that was your dumb happy moment. Mm. You know, you were just being happy.
Yeah.
And
I know.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. It's a part of life, and I think that's one thing that it's hard for most of us to, you know, we don't want to think about passing away, but it is going to happen. And the whole idea of our show, your legacy, your way, proper planning, very few things, we've all heard the saying, very few things go well without proper planning, and this is one area of life with estate planning, you know, we need to know. And Carolyn can help you. As I mentioned at the beginning, she's our exclusive estate planning attorney, and she will take wonderful care of you. One thing that came up with a friend of mine the other day, he was talking about his mother going into a nursing home, and he was talking about this five-year look back with Medicaid. Now, mm-hmm. let's make this clear. Sometimes people get the terms mixed up, Medicare and Medicaid. Two vastly different programs, okay? Vastly. So what we're talking about here has nothing to do with Medicare. This is strictly Medicaid. And I guess I'll open up to you. I mean, your experience, does this come up from time to time? And for what reason does it come up in your area of work?
Well, just to talk about the difference between Medicare and Medicaid, that comes up a lot. Medicare is what you have to sign up, 3 months before your 65th birthday mm-hmm. To get on to the enrollment, and then you got a supplemental plan and, right. and all of that. Medicaid is needs-based, and anything related to long-term care, nursing homes and all that is Medicaid. So it's needs-based. And that's where people get into their issues, because they're going, oh, yeah, we're going around and we think we have enough money until you have to put a loved one into it. And you're going, and it's how much per month? Mm-hmm. I mean, the average in Colorado is it's $10,000 something. So it could be $10,700 per month.
Right.
I don't remember. You know, the second
it's double
part,
but, digits.
But I know it's 10,000,
right.
you know, and the highest one is up there in the mountains, the Aspen, the Vales, and all of that. Mm-hmm. And the Denver metro area is the second one, and we're at 10,000 whatever. And the lowest is probably down in that Pueblo area mm-hmm. and probably over in the Eastern Plains.
Right. And it depends on what level of care the loved one may need. Mm-hmm. You know, they first maybe go into a facility. Maybe they just need a safe place to stay, so to speak, and need someone to check on them. Then they move on in to where they need some medical care or something. That price is going to shoot up, isn't it?
It does. It does. I know when my mom was in a nursing home, and hers was a dementia-only nursing home. It wasn't, you know, everybody was Alzheimer's, because my mom didn't have Alzheimer's. But there's, you know, multiple different kinds of or dementias. Mm-hmm. And hers went up based on the additional services that was needed. When she needed help with the showering and getting dressed and all that, well, it went up. I think at one point my dad was probably paying about $7,800 per month for my mom. And you're going, ooh, that's pretty good. Well, that's what it was in like 2018 when she passed away.
Right.
You know, and now, yeah, it's way up there. So it's really easy to become needs-based
right.
rather quickly when you have to put a loved one into memory care or a nursing home.
Right. So when we talk about planning, we're not talking about when you get past 65, like with Medicare. Okay, you're talking about now is the time to plan, because that 5 years, you may have a loved one right now. You may be listening to this saying, man, we've got a loved one right now that's, you know, getting into some serious medical conditions. We don't have 5 years to look back. Well, you may not, but the government will, right? The government's going to look back on it.
They sure will.
So what does that mean when we say look back? What does that mean?
So the timing is literally based on the filing of the application for Medicaid.
Okay.
And the penalty is if you were to get rid of a piece of property, they divide it by the divisor. So I'm just going to say an easy number, and I know it's probably not this one, but it's like $10,500. And they determine how many months of penalty you're going to have, because if you had not given that piece of property away, you could have paid for your nursing home, right? Mm. The problem is people don't realize that, oh, it's 5 years, I got 5 years, I'm good to go kind of deal. It's when they're figuring out the penalty. If you have a house that had a lot of equity in it and you gave it to your children, you could actually have a penalty longer than 5 years if you file your Medicaid application too early.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, and so that's where the problem is. You could end up having an 8-year penalty period because that was the value of what you got rid of. Mm-hmm. So you've really got to time these things of what are you doing with it, you know. And so depending on the value of the penalty based on the property, you may not want to file for a little while and do self-pay. Or you may say, ooh, can't do that, that you get a Medicaid compliant annuity that could be used to,
oh, gotcha,
you know, kind of deal. But it's really, you can't just think it's 5 years and I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to take in consideration the value of the property.
Right. And that's usually when we say what kind of assets and transfers are examined, that's usually the main thing is property, meaning land or house, but then it could mean vehicles and stuff like that too, right?
It could.
Anything of value, I guess.
I mean, you're allowed to have that one car, you know, but yeah, if you've got one of those expensive cars and things like that, you're like, oh, golly, you know, I guess you could keep the one car. I know it's one car.
Right.
But, what gets people in trouble is we do have the ability to do a beneficiary deed in the state of Colorado. In some states, they're known as ladybird deeds. Don't know where ladybird came from. I mean, I always think of Mamie Eisenhower, but I don't know that.
I think it was Ladybird Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's from what I've heard. Yeah.
Okay, I just know it's ladybird deeds.
Yeah.
We don't call
I'll look that up and find out.
We don't call them ladybird deeds here, but right. I know they have them in Texas,
right.
And you're from Texas, yep. So you probably know. I know they accept them in Florida and things like that, but mm-hmm. Here we do a beneficiary deed in which it must be recorded prior to the date of death for it to be valid. And you're saying, hey, I'm going to be living here, but upon my death, it's going to go to be my children, you know, or it's going to go to this person. The problem is it has to have in big, bold letters on the deed saying, by doing this beneficiary deed, you may not qualify for Medicaid. Because you're giving your house away, you know, for non-fair market value. And so they don't like that. And sometimes you have to undo a beneficiary deed so you can start working on it. Even when it comes to a revocable trust, it works okay when you're a couple. It's that second person. So I'll just use me as an example. If I needed to have Medicaid in the future, because, you know, at the rate I'm going, it'll probably be $15,000, $18,000, $20,000 a month.
Right.
If my house is in a revocable trust and I'm not married, so I don't have a spouse that's there, then they're saying, well, you got to take it out of the revocable trust, because as long as it's in the revocable trust, it doesn't fit the exception for having a house.
Mm, okay.
And so we just did that. Oh, I know I was talking to him last week. I think we just did that on Monday where mm-hmm. we took it out of the revocable trust because the spouse had died 2 years ago. And now he's at the point, but he can't afford anything unless they sell the house. And so they're trying to get him qualified for Medicaid. And what's also important is if it's in his individual name And we put it in our powers of attorney, medical powers of attorney, that there's always the intent to remain, to return home. You're trying to get home. And so talking to the one we just did, and they're working with a Medicaid, not an attorney, but a service, saying, yes, if he doesn't return home within the next 6 months, then the house will have to be sold, and then that gets used to help pay for his Medicaid bill or nursing home bill. And they're going to, you know, basically he'll qualify for those 6 months, is my understanding. And I'm going, you know, that's the second over the last couple of years that someone has done that, but it's the first time that they've provided me the specific regulation that says this is why we're doing this.
Right, right.
I'm like going, ooh, that's good information.
Yeah. Have you had clients that had knowledge of this, or are you usually explaining this to sometimes your clients?
I am explaining it more and more to my clients. Some of them do have knowledge, but a lot of them, like with me, I know that people have taken the house, actually I've had several of them, out of their trust name and put it back into their individual name. But it was last week that I got the first time where someone said, no, this is the specific reg that we're trying to meet the exemption for.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, great, let's just do it.
Right.
You know? And had his spouse not died, that would be a different situation.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, again, we're not trying to make this an insurance-type show, but Medicare does cover some short-term things with if you have to be put into, you know, a nursing home or care facility for a certain number of days and all. But Medicaid is mainly the program for the long term.
Right. I think the Medicare is like, what, the first 100 days?
100 days. I believe that's correct. Yeah.
You know, and it gets tough there with that. But, yeah, it's really confusing, and it seems like there's just so many moving parts.
Right, right. And you say, well, why do they have that? Well, it's pretty simple. Because they want you to pay, and they don't want you giving stuff away just so you don't have to pay.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. And that's why, you know, irrevocable trust can be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can, if you can write it out for the 5 years, then they never know that you have some of this stuff.
Right, right. You're listening to Your Legacy Your Way with our exclusive estate planning attorney, Carolyn Duncan. Once again, her number, she is kind enough to offer a free half-hour consult as well for our listeners, 303-394-2358. All right, so now we're talking about, I said earlier, property, houses, different things like that, maybe cars, but also money. I mean, what are some gifts? What are some other things that could fall under this? We'll say it that way, because I know you'll always go, it depends. So see, I'm learning. So I'll say, what could fall under this?
Well, I talked to someone not too long ago in which they have their residence, and then they have a rental house, and a child is living in the rental house, and she's thinking for her estate planning of going, well, I think I might just sell it to my child for less than fair market value. Or she was thinking of, oh, I could do a beneficiary deed. And I'm going, oh, those might not be good options. They might be good options for you, but not in this telephone call. Because I said, don't be surprised if I rarely say, oh, yeah, beneficiary deed's going to work just great. As long as you understand consequences, right?
Right, right.
And I said, oh, you know, selling it for less than fair market value, then if you need long-term care, then, and you did that in the 5 years prior to you filing, they're going to want that. It's going to be a penalty for what you sold. You know, what was the difference?
Right. So we could be talking about money,
mm-hmm.
the property like we're talking about, and like you just said, below market value. What if I owed my grandmother, you know, $100,000? And somehow they found out about that loan and they said, oh, he doesn't have to pay me anymore. Could forgiving a loan possibly fall under?
It could. And the other one I was thinking of is if you had a investment account and you were giving each of your children, right now it's $19,000, you know, tax-free, you know, for every $19,000 you gave away during that five-year period, you could have been paying, let's just round easily and say 2 months of a nursing home.
Right. Interesting. Well.
Yeah, as we both stare at each other.
And they have, you know, like I say, there's penalties. We don't have time to get into all the how that's calculated, but I can tell you this, it wouldn't be cheap. And it's going to add up quickly, those penalties, right?
They do, because, like I said, the penalty right now is $10,000 whatever. I know it's not 11, and I know it's not 10. It's somewhere in between there. But that's why I have it printed out.
Right.
Keep it in my head. Or maybe I should say I know where to look for it.
And like I say, we're just going to give you a few things here. But when we talk about what are things that maybe a person could hang on to that you know, they're okay to keep. What would be a few things there that come to mind?
Well, you know, the primary residence. If you are in the nursing home and your spouse is still alive, again, I can use my dad, because he was the community spouse and my mom was the, you know, inpatient spouse. If she was receiving Medicaid, they would not come back and try to get it off of that house. Okay, because he was married at the time. My husband has passed away, and they will come and try to take it against my house. But I'm also of the opinion, because I don't have anyone and I don't have children, sell my house, you know, kind of deal.
Right.
But that's one of those areas. It depends. You're allowed to do the one vehicle, the burial plan. You know, depending on the life insurance policies, when I think of that, I think that's like what we see on TV of, you know, help pay off your final bills kind of deal. But they can't have that cash value, so you're really kind of thinking it's a term policy as I'm sitting here, you know, thinking about it, you know, kind of deal. Because a whole or universal usually does have a cash value. And it's like going, well, why can't we have the cash?
Right, right. So what would be some common mistakes you see people make then?
You know, I've seen them give it away. And beneficiary deeds, again, that's a big one that I've had to undo several of them. Not keeping financial records is a big one, because when you're doing this, you have to provide them the 5 years worth of financial records. And sometimes it's kind of hard to recreate what you don't have. You know, where do you go? Trying to hide something, going, oh, I've got this. You know, and thinking of an example in my brain, it'd be like if you had gold or silver and you have it in a safe deposit box.
And you think no one knows about
this. No one's going to figure that one out. And they may not. I'm just saying that's the example I'm thinking of off the top of my head.
Right.
Kind of deal.
And I mean, I think the number one thing is waiting until something happens, right? I mean, and it's hard to plan when you're gonna, you know, need to start that 5 year thing, but I think that's the dilemma probably a lot of people.
I think so, because in my parents' case, my mom fell down the stairs, and you know, I look at it and I've gone, well, I hope she fell off the second stair. I have a feeling she probably fell a little bit higher up. And that caused her to go in the hospital. And from there, it was rehab. And it was at rehab where the determination was going, she can't go home. You know, you can't baby-proof your house to the extent of you can't keep her safe in that regard. And at that time, my mom was in her 80s. Kind of deal. And so it's like going, okay, that happened rather quickly. And they were just getting ready, literally like within a week after the fall, they were getting on like a 60-day cruise. So, I mean, they were not planning this. But what really came out from that experience is how my dad was protecting my mom. So they would go on this cruise and she'd get lost going to the cabin and all that, but there was always a steward that could get her to where she needed to be. When they were at dinner or whatever, my dad was always doing the ordering and all of that. And, you know, I used to laugh and say they're on the old folks cruise because who can afford 60-day cruises? And they were on Holland America, which is known for their more elderly folks kind of deal. And so they weren't thinking about this at all. And then all of a sudden, it's the day after Thanksgiving, and she's being kicked out of rehab. And it's like, oh, we got to find someplace quick.
Right.
You know, and you don't always have that time. But I think if my dad would have been a little more forthcoming of what was really happening with my mom, that maybe they could have done something if that's what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, we've got 3 or 4 minutes here. I'm going to mention a couple of things, and I'll let you comment. But why planning is so important, and you tell me if you agree with this. Early planning could give you some more options to do some things.
I think it can.
Correct.
Okay. I think it can.
And then you've got, you know, understanding how trust work and whether revocable, irrevocable trust, and Carolyn can walk you through all those and what may be best for your individual situation. Of course, you get your powers of attorney, financial and medical, you know, when you do your advanced planning like that. And then a lot of it boils down to this, too, is how do you protect that spouse that you're leaving, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like you were just saying.
Yeah.
For you. I mean, that's what you really want to do with this.
Yes. You know, like I said, my mom, when she passed away, they were not going to come after my dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an exemption for the house anyway when you're trying to figure out of, okay, we've got the community spouse, and can we get anything of it? And I don't know the values off the top of my head. Like I said, I've got one of those flow charts. But yeah, there is a protection there as well.
Right. So again, if you're just joining us, here's one thing I want to mention. Don't confuse Medicare and Medicaid. And we'll be happy to help you that. You know about our show with Jim Gary on Tuesdays, and of course here with Carolyn on Thursdays for estate planning. But she can help you walk through this. And here's the thing, too, you want to think about. And you're wondering, when's the time to do this? If you have a loved one that you're starting to see some memory loss, dementia signs, anything like that, I mean, we could spend another half hour talking about this, but those things can progress slow.
Mm-hmm.
They may be fine for another 15 years, but they can also change in a few weeks, sometimes in a day.
Yeah, so, you know, it was explained to me of thinking about that dementia. Think of it as you're either going up a stairwell or you're going down a stairwell, and sometimes they're nice and even. You know, they're 6 inches up and 6 inches in. Sometimes that 6 inches in goes to, you know, 18 inches, and you're on that step for a longer time. Then the next thing you know, it's 6 feet, and mm-hmm. then you got 3. It really comes and goes, and you can stay in one level for a very long time, and then over a short period of time, you're in a totally different spot.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, it's a free half-hour consult. All you have to do is call 303-394-2358. It is DuncanLegal.com. Carolyn, a lot of great information. Thank you very much.
You are more than welcome.
Our show next week. You've been listening to Your Legacy Your Way. Once again, if you ever want to schedule with Carolyn, all you got to do is call her. Now is a great time of year to get this done. 303-394-2358. Thank you for being with us for Your Legacy Your Way.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.